going to celebrate the Christmas message from God. And he used a lot of people over time, over many years, to bring the message of redemption, of restoration, forgiveness. And so we're going to have some scripture readings. I like to always, every year, because of our more and more growing biblical illiteracy in America, it's my conviction to every Christmas, every Easter, Good Friday, read the scripture, teach it to your children, talk about it, tell your kids when you're coming, when you're going, train them up in the ways of the Lord, train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and all based on the Word of God that's timeless, that's alive, that's forever. And so we're always, every Christmas, we're going to read the scriptures out of Matthew, and we're going to see some God used. Am I coming and going here? Mighty ones that God used over time and that he's still using. So there's a certain point, and I want to get the kids involved here and the adults, but first the kids. Whenever we have a visit from a prophet of God, and at the end they're going to share their story, and at the end they're going to say, "My hope is in the Lord," and then on the screen it's going to say, "My hope is in the Lord," and that's for all the kids. I want you to say it real loud when you see it up on the screen. My hope is in the Lord. Can we practice right now, kids? 1, 2, 3.
My hope is in the Lord.
Yes, good. That'll be good. They're going to do that 5 times. There's another point where the angels appear, the heavenly host of angels appear to the shepherds, and they say, "Glory to God in the highest." And that'll be on the screen too, and that's for the children and the adults. Everyone want to say that real loud. And I just believe there's something about declaring it, getting it in your heart, getting it in your mind, getting it in your spirit, that this is for us. Because it says, "For all people, bring you good news of great joy for all people." And that includes us. So we're gonna declare that with conviction when that comes. And the scripture will keep going, and we'll some other things, but I want to just acknowledge and thank Heather Dirks for putting together the writing of all what the prophets are going to be sharing, 5 different ones, and thank you, Heather, for your creativity. Yes. So God is always about the business of working with others. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he is the God who came to be with us. And that's what Christmas is about. So I would like the lights dimmed.
You all know me. My name is Adam, because I was formed from the dusty, red, Middle Eastern soil by the hands of God himself. Life entered my body when the God of the universe breathed on me. How's that for an origin story? I was set up to create quite a legacy. God knew I got a little lonely between the great conversations he and I had in the cool of the day, so he created me a custom-made companion named Eve. She and I, together, made some poor choices that got us kicked out of the garden. I think you know all about that. Life changed abruptly for me after that. Overnight, I went from living in a luscious and fruitful paradise planted by the Lord God himself to watering my own thorn patch with the sweat of my brow, just so my family could have a little bite to eat. Words cannot explain my regret at how things turned out. Yet I am created in the image of God. It's God's own breath that started these lungs breathing and this heart pumping. So I can't deny I harbor a shred of hope that the God who was once my best friend will have mercy on my children's children and offer them a way out of the mess I've created. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord.
has come, and all is bright everywhere, but in your heart tonight, the singing carols of joy and peace, but you feel too far gone and too far out of reach. Somewhere in your silent night, heaven hears the song your broken heart has cried. Hope is here, just lift your heights to manger low. There is no distance the Prince of Peace won't go. From manger low to Calvary's hill, when your pain runs deep, his love runs deeper still. He has always loved you, child, and he always will. Somewhere in your silent night, heaven hears the song your broken heart has cried. Hope is here, just lift your head, for love has come. Silent night, lift your head, lift your heart. Emmanuel will meet you where you are. He knows your hurt, he knows your name, for your song your broken heart has cried. Hope is here, just lift your head, for love has come to find you. And somewhere in your silent night, love will find you.
Luke, chapter 1, verse 26 through 56. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end."
I am the youngest of Jesse's sons. I am a warrior and poet, a lover and a fighter. I'm David. The youngest of eight sons doesn't hope for a great inheritance, but God took me from tending my father's sheep to be the shepherd and king of his people Israel. In those lonely days, watching my sheep above the hill in Bethlehem, the Lord of God of Israel was my great passion. Thinking of and meditating on him and his word and how I wrote all of my top 40 psalms to an audience of one, I sang all of those early songs, and only God and my sheep saw the dancing. I can't keep still. Everyone found that out when we brought the ark to Jerusalem. I was dancing before the Lord with all of my might. My wife didn't like that too much. She was raised in the palace herself, and that kind of exuberance was just not proper for a king, she told me. But I told her, I will celebrate before the Lord. Just watch. I will become even more undignified than this because I dance before the Lord, who is the one who chose a shepherd boy like me to be a king rather than anyone from your father's house. How can I restrain my gratitude to the Lord God who preserved my life during all those years running from my enemies in the desert and who had brought me to this place of prosperity? Yes, I am a man of passions, but they always haven't been for noble purposes. I had a man killed, one of my own loyal, mighty men, and I took his wife of my own. I numbered Israel's fighting men against the Lord's wishes. Even Joab, the violent and impulsive captain of my army, did not want to help me with that. I failed to restrain the unwise passions of my son. I've been high and I've been low. I've been guided and misguided. But my love for the Lord has never died. I think he loves me a little bit too, because he promised to establish my house and my throne so that his government and his justice will reign forever. I speak to my soul and command it to put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. My hope is in the Lord.
Mary asked the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who is said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come in to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
My question for you is it an easy thing to believe God? I did. Why was I the man called out of the great circle of life in the East, where history always repeats itself, and where the past is always the future, and no man goes where his father has not gone before him? And no man does what his father has not done before him. But I did. The Lord had said to me, Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land where I will show you. By faith, I made my home in that country, he showed me, living in tents, as did my son and my grandson. I was 75 years old when the Lord called me, past the age of visionary, but approaching the age of a dreamer. I know it didn't stop there. God called me out of my tent one night to look at the stars. He said, you shall have offspring as many as are there. The Lord even changed my name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. I believed God, and he credited it to me as righteousness. Just to remind you, it was my belief God credited, not my righteousness. For example, there was a time when I lied like a coward to the Pharaoh of Egypt, telling him that my wife was really my sister. Didn't take him long when the disease and plague hit his household to figure out that that was not true, and he returned her. Was it an easy thing to believe God for a son when I was nearing 100 years old and my wife was barren? Was it an easy thing to lead my own son to the altar, preparing to sacrifice him in obedience to, believe it not, it was God's command? I could only reason that God would have to raise him from the dead to fulfill his promise. I believed in God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as if they were. As you know, when the Lord saw my heart was steadfast, he sent an angel to stay my hand from piercing my own son. Instead, we sacrificed a lamb that the Lord had provided. God promised me the father of many nations. Leaving a legacy was a big deal for men in my time. So against all hope, in hope I believed. I believed God would give me the descendants that outnumbered the stars of the heavens. My hope is in the Lord.
Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple with glory. I saw the seraphs flying above him, strange and awesome creatures, each with six wings, and each calling out to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe is me, I cried. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. One of the seraphs cleansed my lips with a live coal, and I heard the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And compelled by a holy urgency, I said, Here I am, send me. The King of Glory did send me. Isaiah is my name. What turned out to be innumerous times over a period of 50 years to four different kings of Judah. In my time, the kingdom of God's chosen people had come a long way from its glory days under our fathers David and Solomon. The kingdom had fractured by that time into two warring, adulterous factions, each striving to outdo the other in sacrilege and selfish living. Judah's God sent me to these people, my people, his people, with fearsome warnings and with pleas for their repentance. The Lord God most wanted to extend mercy to his people. I know he did. But that kingdom was ultimately to fall. God had already made provisions for that, and I caught a glimpse of it. I saw God's glory would one day be transferred from an earthly monarchy to an unseen spiritual kingdom, reaching hearts and minds and finding and empowering followers from every tribe and nation. The ruler of that kingdom is God himself, and the Lord himself will give a sign. This was that sign. The virgin shall be with child and shall give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel, God with us. When will it happen? I don't know. Will it happen? It is guaranteed. My hope is in the Lord.
When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you.
child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him love, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and lamb are feeding? Good Christians, fear for sinners here. The silent word is pleading. Nails, spear shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail the word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. Raise, raise a song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. The babe, the Son of Mary.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel."
My name is Micah Marisheth. You may not have heard of my name or of my hometown, but that's not important. What matters is that you hear the word the Lord gave me, a word for his people Israel, and a word for all peoples of the earth. The Lord spoke to me during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, all kings of Judah. The Lord chose me, a man from a small rural region in Judea, to confront the wealthy leaders in Jerusalem. Our capital was a decadent and decorated place at that time, awe-inspiring to many, but its beautification came through dishonest business practices that placed a heavy burden on the poor Israel's judges, priests, and prophets alike all did their work for a bribe. My word was and is a warning of God's coming judgment for these things and for a laundry list of others. Look, the Lord is coming from his dwelling place. The mountains melt before him and the valleys split apart. This judgment is coming because of the despicable sins of the people who love to commit them. Sins of fraud, theft, greed, debauchery, oppression, hypocrisy, heresy, injustice, extortion, lying and murder, and countless other offenses. Because of these things, God's judgment will surely come. Does God delight in this devastation he is bringing upon his people? Certainly not. This also was part of his word to me. The Lord delights to show mercy. Is there a remnant of people left who will humble themselves before God's mighty hand and who will repent and commit to changing their ways? These people will receive pardon from the Almighty Judge. With what shall I come before the Lord, you say? With what shall I come and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rivers of oil, thousands of rams? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, he has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Is it possible for a man to do these things? Keep your heart set on humility, for God's help will come as a collision between the humble and the grand, not once but twice. The Lord God will raise up a mighty king from the little town of Bethlehem, that humble dwelling place of shepherds. The first was our legendary King David, that giant slayer who still holds a place of affection in every Judean heart. The second is yet to come. Thus says the Lord, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. My name is Micah of Marisheth. My hope is in the Lord.
Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in its vicinity, who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what he said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea, in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, having been warned in a dream. He withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene.
Yes. Adam made a mess of things. His disobedience to God brought trouble on the whole world. We're all still feeling the consequences of Adam's sin, but Christmas is God's message that says loud and clear, there's hope. Amen? There's hope that better days are coming. There's hope that this is not how it's going to stay. This is not the end. This is not permanent. This is temporary. What Adam messed up will be restored one day. And God wanted to make sure we all knew a message of hope came from Him. So He sent it over hundreds of years, literally thousands of years, so that all the people involved in the story couldn't fabricate something beyond God's ability to do it. He worked through different prophets that spoke not just to anyone, but to kings. Not prophets that were self-appointed speaking to the man on the street, but He spoke to kings of nations, so it was recorded. There were scribes recording it all that would be for generations to be read back and to see this message come down. And God used supernatural signs like having a virgin become pregnant. You know, it says, God Himself will give a sign. It specifically says God Himself will give a sign. You know, there's a sign out in front of this building that I can think of eight people offhand that were involved in building that sign. Whether it's carpenter, a block layer, a plaster guy, lettering guys, digging out, putting the foundation, cement work. Then beautification, I know of a couple people that beautified it with plants and flowers. And 8 to 10 people easily that I can think of. But this says God Himself will give a sign. Why is that? Because only God Himself can do the sign that He gave, which was a virgin will be with child. No human, no man, no woman could. God wanted us all to know, God wanted you to know right here in 2018 that it was Him who sent His Son. It was Him. It was supernatural. It was a virgin that was with child. He had angels appear, Supernatural angels appear to shepherds, to Joseph, to Mary, to Zechariah, to announce the birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. It was God who caused a bunch of very wise, brilliant men to come who knew something was happening to see this newborn king. And then God even got the cooperation of the planets. If you weren't convinced yet, God got planets to come in line and form and whatever. I don't know how he did it. I'm not saying the movie nativity story is it, the planets, but he used stars to signal, to give a sign, come to Bethlehem. There's something going on here. This is where my son will be born. This is where the deliverer will be born. This is where the Christ child will be given. He moved heaven and earth. I love Christmas. I love this time of year. He stirred Bethlehem. He stirred all of Jerusalem. And he stirred it so much that today, 2,000 plus years later, we're celebrating what he did back in the Middle East. It's a supernatural work of God. This is not just a trend. It's not a fad. I wasn't sure the internet would really stick when it came out. You know, cell phones, it's a fad. It's a trend. But this is not a trend. It's not a fad. It's for real. Prophets, kings, angels, a virgin, and the stars all were involved in the message from God that we have hope. We've got hope. What we see with our eyes is very temporary. Christmas is the demonstration from God that he never quits on us. He will not quit. And he will not quit on you and I. Whatever you're going through, whatever's in your life, whatever challenges, he's not going to quit. It might look bad. It might be dark. I think it's no coincidence that the shepherds were watching their flocks at night in darkness when the angels of light appeared. And that the wise men were following a star at night. God knows what your night looks like. God knows exactly. He sees as if it was daytime in your nighttime. And he knows what kind of light you need. He knows how to shine. He knows how to light it up for you to know which way to go. He's so gracious. He's done it for the world, for all time. He's going to do it, and he's doing it for you individually. He cares about you and I. His love never dies. It never ends. No matter how dark it gets, his light is brighter. And he will shine. How do we know we have hope? We know we have hope because of one, God is with us. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God could have stayed away. He was tempted. And he caused a flood to wipe the face of the earth. He was so regretful of what he had created. And it says he wiped out every living person except for eight. And every animal that walks on the earth. And he started over. But even then he didn't quit. He started over. He could have quit. Man, enough. Every thought of their minds evil all the time. But God is love. And knowing what he knows about us all, he sent his son. in the fullness of time, establishing it supernaturally in so many ways. And it says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Not just get by, but live. Have life, have abundant life. He wanted us to know that he's still here. And not just that he's far off and yeah, he's watching over, but he sent his Son. Christmas is for us to know that he is with us. He is right here. He came. He was always there before Jesus was born, but now we know tangibly. And yes, Jesus ascended, but we know he sent his Spirit. Just like the Spirit of God was over the earth before Bethlehem. And God is here. And Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. He's the spitting image of God the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. My Father and I are one. Jesus is not different from his Father. His Father is not different from Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And even though we did spit in his face, he sent his Son to redeem, to give hope, to restore all who put their trust in him, to really live. And he doesn't leave us to just struggle on our own. He gave us his Son on Christmas Day so we can know he's in us by faith. His Spirit is in us by faith. And yes, Adam made a mess and we feel the consequences. And those consequences are great. But we have hope because Jesus saves us from sin. She'll give birth to a son and you're to give him the name of Jesus because he'll what? Save his people from their sins. In 1982, I became one of his people. It was the biggest decision of my life. It changed every aspect of my life. That year I gave control of my life over to Jesus. And I knew that my sins were forgiven. It says he will save his people from their sins. Are you one of his people? Are you one of his people? Or do you feel like you're looking at those people? Those people do this God stuff. I want you to become one of his people. By faith, put your trust in this reality of what Jesus did, that he came, he was born. Heaven and earth was moved to bring him to earth. He's the only one. He's the only way. He's the only way that mankind has. That we can be saved. Are you saved by the newborn King? God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to what? Save sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Christmas is the beginning of what God was all about fulfilling. The life of Jesus, everything that he did, started by him humbly coming in a manger, in a stable in Bethlehem. And again, God used prophets and kings and shepherds and wise men and the stars to tell us that Jesus Christ came primarily to forgive sin. Do you know you're a sinner? When you're alone, do you realize, have you had that revelation? You are a sinner. You're not just a nice person that once in a while blows it. But you're a sinner that once in a while gets it right. It's a major revelation to understand that you deserve to go to hell. But God, the mess that Adam made affects us all. Death came through Adam, and therefore death to all of us. 10 out of 10 people will die. Right? And that's Adam's fault. Talk to him when you get there. Say, Adam, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? But Jesus knew that, and the Father knew that. And he said, there's only one way. We've been talking about that one way for a long time, and we're going to keep talking about that one way. Someone born of humankind, but without a sin nature of Adam, has to come and be that sacrifice. It's the only way. Someone without a sin nature, but is human. Because God said, let man rule. Let him have dominion over the earth. And so what man's mess that he made had to be fixed by man. Could not be overcome and taken over because God won't break his word. He will always stick to his word. He gave dominion of this earth to mankind. So through a person it had to come. And Jesus was born of a virgin. The seed of God was put in a human. And the Son of God was born. The Son of God who was able to sin. It was possible for him to sin, but he never did. He was not a divine robot that couldn't sin. He could, and he didn't. He chose not to. Perfectly, sinless, spotless, blameless Lamb of God who could take the punishment of yours and my sins. And if you put your faith in him, you will be forgiven and you will be born again, born of the Spirit, and your life will change forever. And your destination will be guaranteed going to heaven. Not everyone that dies goes to heaven. It's a lie from the devil. Not everyone goes to heaven. Everyone will be judged before God in heaven. And some will go to life everlasting by faith, those who choose Christ. Some will go to eternal damnation and torment in the lake of fire. That's not just my theology. It's so important to put your trust in Christ. Jesus moved heaven and earth so you would know that there's a choice out of this world and this mess that Adam made. God used prophets and kings, shepherds and wise men, planets, and he's still using people. Christmas says God is with us. It says Jesus saves us from sin. And my last point, Jesus is forever. It said the Lord will give Jesus the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. Kingdom will never end. So God came through his son, and his son is forever. And if Jesus is forever, and he came to be with us, God with us, if we're with God, we are forever. You are forever. You will live forever. Everyone will live forever. We have a choice of where that is. There may be more in this room, but I know there's at least 6 people in this room that my wife and I and the Millers and the Snezrud stood on the hills of Bethlehem in April this year. And it's a real place. It's a real town. Bethlehem is just a little south of Jerusalem. You can see it. You can see Jerusalem. You can see Bethlehem from Jerusalem. And it's where shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks by night. Normal, everyday shepherds raising sheep for the temple sacrifices 2,000 years ago. We walked on the hillside, walked on the streets of Bethlehem, bought little trinkets from people that may have well been descendants of the same people that used to live in Bethlehem. Growing on the hillside that are descended from the trees that were grown 2,000 years ago. It's a surreal thing. We went inside a cave called Shepherd's Cave. It's a big opening in the side of a hill. Big open 8-foot ceiling, big cave. Most of this platform could be under this cave. It was an obviously used place by shepherds for hundreds of years. In all likelihood, some of the shepherds that saw the angels appear made campfires in this cave that we stood in a few months ago. There's black soot, and the whole ceiling is just black with campfire soot. And it's a major tourist attraction now. It's all patio paved in front, but it's a real place in a real town on a real hillside with real people that saw real angelic hosts praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. Peace. Peace. It's a real place. God left it there. It's not some fantasy world out there. It's not some idea out there. You can go there. You can see many of the same things, same streets, evidence. Hard to imagine here, but when you walk the streets and see the steps where you know Jesus walked, it's still there. God wants you to know He's a tangible, real God. He's not just a cool idea for Christmas and Easter. You're going to see Him face to face someday. Of the message of Christmas, the assurance of hope for better things to come. And receive it. Getting near Him, being near Him. I want to be near God all the time. We who were far away have been brought near by the blood. Jesus' blood on the cross brings us near. And it's receiving it by faith that you come near, that you're brought near. In fact, there's kids all in here. I'd like all the kids to come near right over here. All the kids. You stand up and come on forward if you want. You don't have to. Parents can come too. In fact, is there any 20, 30, 40-year-old kids here that would like to come near Jesus? 50? Any prophets here? Can I have some prophets come? Can I like to invite the prophets to come near the nativity scene? And you can move all across the steps, sit down, get comfortable, wherever you want. We're going to close with one song. And I would like to, in fact, any more, 20s or 30s, 40s, would like to come near. Let's stand up. And we're all going to sing, not just the kids. Yeah. We're going to sing Hark the Herald, Angels Sing. And afterwards, I'm going to pray. And before all the kids leave, we have a couple things for you. So we have ornament for you and a candy cane if you'd like. So don't leave without getting them. They'll be right here, right there. So I want to just close with this thought before we sing the Herald Angels. Is God is always about involving us. Christmas. God with us, Emmanuel. He came. And he didn't just come quietly and just appear, but he involved prophets and kings and shepherds and wise men and everyday people. And he sent the message out through the shepherds, and they went about telling, come and see this thing. It's just as we've been. And those people told people, and those people told people. And people keep telling each other till it went across the ocean and got in the United States. And the message went across from the East Coast, got to the Midwest, and it got into Faribault. And you guys are nuts. You believe in Jesus, right? It's like, what is that old dusty book? You believe that stuff? Jesus, you better believe it. You better believe it. There's no other way. There's no other Savior. I bring you good news of great joy because a Savior has been born to you. You have to know that you need. Oh, you need a Savior. You're in trouble. Because you know. But you need to know Jesus is the Savior. He's the only one. It's the only way. I love the Christmas message. It tells us God is real and he sent his son for you and I. Receive it. Celebrate it this weekend, this week. And then for the next 50 or 70 or 80 years, it'd be good to celebrate it then too. So let's hear the herald angels sing.